Welcome to the New Age.
Welcome to Roaring Twenties, a podcast where we talk about shit and life while you're 20 and the 20s, honey. My name is Nick, and how are you doing today? No, but like for real, brain drill, how you doing today though? Okay, cute. I'm doing good. I'm actually doing a lot better than I was before. I've been sick this past week, so I haven't been feeling the best, but these past couple of days I've been feeling amazing, so I'm really glad to be able to record this episode and get it out there for everyone to listen to. So, it's really amazing to not be sick anymore and to actually have the energy to do things and to make lemon bars, which we will get to. They're currently cooling in the fridge. I love lemon bars. but yeah, so this is my first episode. This is so wild to me. I've been sitting on this podcast for probably like 2 years now. It's insane. It's gone through many iterations. It's gone through a whole bunch of brainstorming. I have so many just like scattered notes on my iPhone and just like different ideas and stuff and never really like starting it. I've had this microphone. I've had this microphone that I'm currently recording on. I've had it for probably 7 years. Yeah. and I haven't really used it, but I knew one day I would. So we're here and we're queer and get used to it. So, a little bit about this podcast. I wanted to create a space, one, that was queer, because I identify as gender non-binary, and today just happens to be non-binary day, so woot woot. I didn't even know we had a day work. but I just wanted to create a space where we could, us 20-year-olds, you know, I felt like when I moved out, there was just, like, so much that I was expected of me. I just kind of, like, had to know everything. And I was like, I know nothing. Literally nothing. So I just felt like I wanted to create a space where we could sit and chill and talk about, you know, stuff that I feel like you guys should know. Because the 20s comes with a lot of shit you have to learn. And I'm currently 22. And I just want everyone to know I hate my 20s right now. I hate it. I am such a 30-year-old at heart. I would rather be on the other side of this with all the ideas I have in my head. I just can't wait to be 32 with children and a cat empire. But yeah, so I wanted to create basically a podcast where I could like give info on stuff I've learned, give life lessons that I've shit that I've gone through, talk about stuff that I feel like other 20-year-olds should know, such as like taxes, how to do your taxes, what it's like when you move out, owning a car, paying bills, all that fun stuff. And so, yeah, so whenever this podcast first came to me, the name literally popped into my head. It was like, boop, Roaring Twenties. And I was like, okay, God, put her in the back pocket and see what will become of her, honey. And I thought it was so fitting because we're currently in the 20s right now. It's the start of the 20s, start of the new decade. And people, and so much is happening around us every fucking day. We're living through a new age civil rights movement, and it's so beautiful. And every day I wake up and I just hear, look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now. I'm just like, it's like in between that and like so much sad depression because it's so hard to see people like you dying every day. But yeah, I just felt like I wanted to create a space where we could talk about all that stuff and just like chill and talk about queer headlines and talk about what's going on in the world and stuff that's going on in my life, like the lemon bars that are sitting in the fridge right now, which I am salivating. I have such a Pavlovian response to lemon bars. Oh my gosh. I love lemon bars so much. But hopefully through this podcast, I can educate people and also like find more Black queer people to know. I mean, I live in New York City, which I love so much. Even throughout all this pandemic stuff. And I just want to get to know more people. I lived in Florida for 21 years of my life, and I've been living here for a year now. So I would love to get to meet more people that are similar to me. And I also have like so many different amazing, cool, wacky, creative, awesome people in my life that I want to share with the world. And I also want to like learn how to talk to people and pick their brains and stuff, because I have like such long conversations with so many people. Oh, my laptop is gonna die. Hold please. Plug it in. Okay, we're back. So I have what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So I have a lot of guests. Hopefully, I want to have like a guest each episode just to like give people insight into 20-year-olds, and we can like chat about our 20s and lament about all the hardships of the world as 20-year-olds. And I also want to have people who have been through their 20s and tell me what it's like. I want to interview people that are older, that can be like, listen here, sonny, don't do this, but definitely don't do that. I love people, and I wanna interview people and pick their brains and see the world through other people's eyes. Does that make me sound weird? Does that make me sound clingy? I just want to like see through his eyes. And I just want to see through his eyes. Does that make sense? Like, I have them in a glass jar over here, but I just like lol, so weird. I'm so weird. But yeah, so I go to a little bit about me. I am 22 years of age. I identify as gender non-binary. My pronouns are they, them. I live in New York City. I go to a theater school, which is actually really interesting, being in theater school during this pandemic, let me tell you, because one thing that I'm like really fortunate, I'm like blessed, I'm like can't wait, is the industry, Broadway, when it comes back, ooh, there are going to be so many opportunities for people like me. I'm so excited. But like in quarantine, honey, what's not the tea is having ADHD and trying to do these classes, okay? It is not 3 hours of Meisner. I mean, oof, 3 hours of Meisner. If you know, you know, honey. But we made it through. You know, I tippity-tapped my way. I did my ballet. I'm rhyming a lot today. Ooh, oh! Ah! I did the damn thing. I don't know what September's going to bring, but we'll see. We'll see. Let's see what else about me. I grew up in Florida. I have a little brother who's in high school right now. I did a lot of stuff growing up, like a lot of stuff. I did golf for 9 years. I trained with Calvin Pete, who was my neighbor growing up. He won the 1987 players. I'm not sure. I'm a little rusty. But golf was a big part of my life growing up. I was a real country bumpkin. Every weekend, I pretty much went to Georgia with my grandfather and lived it up country style, honey. I was out there hunting. I was out there on the ATV, riding around the fields with my cousins, blazing trails. I did it all. I went to hunting camp. I went to golf camp too. I was real butch, baby, let me tell you. And then in high school, I was like really big into computers too. I love computers and anything. My biggest thing was software, because I like really loved like the operating systems on devices like that. Oh, I love that so much. I still love it to this day. And yeah, I have like 2 network certifications, which I do not use. But at least I can say I have them, I guess. I have a degree. I did ballet for 3 years. I did like a whole bunch of dance. Basically, when I went to college, I was doing nothing but dance. I was on scholarship for dance. And it was new to me because I was there for theater. And I was like, oh, these legs? This flat foot? Well, okay. I was like, all right, fine. Guess I'll do it, honey. Free money? Honey, I'll take it. Yeah. And so I spent 3 years in college. I had reconstructive jaw surgery because I have a facial deformity I was born with. And I had jaw surgery. They broke my bottom jaw, broke my top jaw. They said, and I was... they put her back together again, and I was made new. And so, yeah, I like that was just inconvenient for me, if anything, because sitting in the house doing absolutely nothing does not work for me. And so, yeah, I spent 3 years in college. I had the jaw surgery, and then I moved to New York, and now I'm here. And what I really want to do is I want to shake shit up. That's what I want to do, whatever that means. No, but I really just want to, like, I really want to do drag so bad. I want to do drag so bad. I mean, I do drag. My life is drag. I literally, I'm not kidding when I tell you, I have some nails on a roll of, like, a strip of duct tape, just, like, locked and loaded, ready to go. I was on my way to a pride, not a pride. I was on my way to a protest, and I was like, gotta have nails. And so I was like, painting them on a strip of tape on the train, and I was like, something happened, I can't remember, I think I got PTSD at the protest, and so I was like, gotta go, don't wanna die, and I ended up never wearing the nails, so I just kinda have them, and I don't have nail glue, so I need to go buy some, but yeah, and so I just wanna like, I also want to, like, make music. I love music. Music is my life. I can feel music, if that makes sense. I can feel music. I can feel that shit. I would love to make my own music. I love the piano so much. Okay. Let's see. I have 2 cats. One named Saint. One named Ido. Oh, my gosh. I love them so much. I've had Saint for... oh, my gosh. 3 years, 4 years. I think he's actually meowing right now. My cat was not meowing. I'm officially afraid. No, I had Saint for 3 years. I got him at 4 months, and he was my literal everything. He's so cute. He's so small. And then I have my baby Ido, who... he actually, I was walking home from work at 3 a.m. And he just walked up to me. He had a leash on, and I was like, oh, baby, come here. You're so small. Kitty. And so he like wouldn't leave me alone. I picked him up, and I was like, okay, you're coming home with me. And, you know, we put ads out to see if he belonged to anyone. No one said anything. And so I was like, well, baby, welcome to the family. And, you know, he's a tuxedo cat, and he's like really, really big. I don't know how old he is. I want to say he's almost a year, but I have no idea, because the only pet I've had is an exception to the rule. I mean, Saint is tiny. He is like so small, and Ito is so big. And I have my two little kitties. They're both black. Ito was a tuxedo cat, which is where I got the name from. You think you're clever, don't you? Well, I do, actually. I live, breathe, drink, bathe, exchange my money with Drag Race. I love Drag Race so much. Drag Race is my life. I hopped on the bandwagon on season 9. Which was a perfect time for me, I think, because it was just coming over to VH1. Gaga was there. Shea Coulee was there. Peppermint was there. And it was just my being out of the house as an 18-year-old living on your own. And you have Drag Race. Excuse me. Sorry.
I feel like Wendy Williams, whenever she does, she like burps on national TV and she goes, ugh.
Give me a break. But being a queer black 18-year-old and having Drag Race and seeing Shea Coulee was so transformative for me. And I was like, I love Drag Race. I would love to be on it one day. Could you imagine? I love Drag Race. I love Drag Race so much. I honestly wish I could have my own recap show and just talk about it ad nauseum because I'm like super analytical. And so I'm like, I know whose lipstick BB has. I know whose lipstick. According to my calculations. And plus, I just love the fashions and everything. I love drag. I could go on and on about Drag Race, honestly. And what else is something I do? Oh, I really love makeup. I used to work for a makeup company. And I love makeup so much. It is... I think you can do so many amazing things with makeup. And trust me, as a queer person, makeup is your weapon. It is your weapon. It is your armor. It is your everything. Ooh, ooh. Kitty wants to come in. My cats run my life, honestly. but yeah, that's a little about me. And now it's time for the first segment. In this segment, I will do weekly news. I'll talk about kind of what I've been going through this past week or like the previous week. And I'll just like, you know, chat. It's like our time to like hang out and be like, girl, so did you see? And no, girl. No, girl. yeah, so getting into my week. Today, like I said earlier, today is... non-binary day, which I did not know was a thing. And I'm so glad that it is a thing and that we're able to celebrate it. And that I saw it on trending on Twitter. I was like, ooh, cute. I took a little picture for the gram, which, ooh, the gram. And so for those who do not know, most people, including most transgender people, are either male or female, but some people don't neatly fit into those categories of, quote, man or, quote, woman or male or female. For example, some people have a gender that blends elements of being a man or a woman, or a gender that is different than either male or female. Some people don't identify with any gender. Some people's gender changes over time. So consider non-binary a umbrella term for people who do not identify with the male or female gender exclusively. It's think about it like this, right? We're all given a gender at birth, and the way society is and the way the world works, a lot of people, majority of people, identify with the gender they were given at birth. A lot of women, female presenting people who identify as a cis woman, will be given the gender woman at birth and will live their lives identifying with that exact same gender. Well, that's not necessarily the case for, you know, someone who is trans, who is assigned male at birth, but identifies as a woman, and typically will go through gender confirmation surgery. That's typically a lot of is a lot of what is seen. And so it leaves kind of people like me a little bit more in like the blurry lines. I was assigned male at birth, but I don't identify as a man. I identify as gender nonconforming. And so I basically don't subscribe to the what's expected of a man. Now, I understand that the world we live in and the way I look presents a certain way, and a lot of people will misgender me and say I am a he and will use he, him pronouns. But as we're seeing, and as hopefully we will continue to see, is that non-binary people come in all different shapes and sizes and different colors. And I think, and hopefully what I would love to see is vocabulary that starts to include those people. You know, a lot of it is like, you know, when people reference groups of people, they say, hey, guys, come over here. Or a lot of it is like ladies and gentlemen, which is like a really big one. I know for me, because it's just like in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, what about me? You know? Am I the aunt? And I know that like that type of understanding and mentality will come a time. And a lot of like different language is changing too. Like instead of saying all women, using vocabulary like female presenting and male presenting people. And it may sound weird for some people, but I mean, look, 60 years ago, white people didn't even believe that black people should be able to drink the same water as them. So I think if we can get past that as a people, we can start to understand that we as humans all have different experiences on this earth. And I think we all at the end of the day just want to be inclusive of everyone and understanding of everyone. And I think that's why today is so special, because it sheds light on a subsection of people that is I feel the most misunderstood, or I feel like is the least is known about. And so today we celebrate those people. I am one of those people. I am black and queer and motherfucking proud of it. Okay. So I just saw, I'm like getting hot just thinking about it. I saw just now, Toronto Dump just said, yeah, that's what I call the orange man, because he's just so fucking stupid. Oh, so stupid. So much stupidity. He just said, a reporter asked him basically, he was like, she basically was like, why are black people dying more than white people at the hands of police brutality? He was like, what a stupid question to ask. I'll have you know, white people also die. Actually, the nigga took it a step further. He goes, white people die more. And I was like, nah, come on. No, come on. I think I slapped the phone. I was like, this is grade A stupidity. This is a free lesson in how to be stupid and ignorant. And we have the videos, Mary. We have the videos, bitch. We have the videos. Show me the videos of not saying that it doesn't happen, because obviously it happens. But I mean, look around, Mary. Every fucking day, out multiple times in a day. Come on, dumbass bitch. I can't with the orange man. I have to move on. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So next up is this story with Naya Rivera. It's so, her body was found yesterday on the 7-year anniversary of Corey Monteith's passing, which I personally have a hard time understanding coincidences, but I also understand that I was just like, I'm just like still numb, because I'm like, Josie, her 4-year-old child, right? My world is my mother. having a single parent, they are your world. And I cannot imagine at the age of 4 no longer having that person that sings to you. And you don't know anything else other than that voice. Like it's there. Seeing them, feeling them. And the fact that he has that last moment with her before she. I pray every day for his peace of mind and some ounce of understanding, because her contribution to, I mean, she was one of my queeros. I mean, Afro Latinx woman on primetime TV with her voice, all the music she sang. I went to private school for until I basically went to high school, from elementary up until middle school, with the exception of like one or two school years when I was younger. So I didn't really listen to the quote secular music. I lived in a bubble, and all of my pop culture references, all of my understanding of contemporary music, essentially outside of like black female singers, came from Glee. You know, and in high school, having my In the Heights radio on Pandora on shuffle and hearing Puerto Rico, my heart's devotion, and just like being like, oh my, I'm getting chills thinking about it, because I'm just like, her voice was so one of a kind. She was so one of a kind. And then to know that she was queer, and to be like, what is this? You know what I mean? And being introduced to it. And her rendition of If I Die Young, which I'm sure there will be a whole bunch of tributes and covers of it, because her rendition of it's so beautiful. That helped me. I've cried through that song so many times. It's helped me. It helped me. I mean, Back to Black, her rendition of Back to Black was transcendent. Oh my gosh. Her duet with Kurt, I don't know. Oh, Chris Miss? No, Chris Colfer, thank you. Her duet with Chris Colfer on Smooth Criminal was everything. The violins, understanding my love. Oh my gosh. Like, she is just so incredible. And she had so much sass, and she had so much class, and she was snappy, and she had quick remarks, and her character fed my soul when I didn't even know who I was. And she's so incredible. Her contribution to this earth is incredible. I'm so sad to see her go. And I pray for peace for her son. A moment of silence for Naira Rivera. Okay. We are going to, okay. Oh, oh my gosh. 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 It has been 2 hours since the lemon bars came out the oven. I'm so excited. I'm going to taste one. Okay. So I'm going to be right back with lemon bars. Okay. I have the lemon bars. And yes, there's enough for the studio audience. Oh my gosh. Oh wow. Oh wow. You get a lemon bar. You get a lemon bar. You get a lemon bar. Yes, your baby too can have a baby bottle full of pureed lemon bar. Yes, we got it. No, I love lemon bars so much. And look, this is probably the 12th batch I've made since quarantine started. Quarantine started for me on March 13th. And I probably, out of the 525,600 weeks since quarantine started, I've probably made lemon bars 525,600. Yeah, and I don't know why. I was on like a dry, I was on like, my the way my brain works is when I love something, I like love it. And so I need to understand everything about it. And so I was like, it started off with a box mix from Trader Joe's. And I was like, ooh, love a lemon bar. I've never made these before. Cute. Let's make them. And then I was like, ugh, love that. Love that. That's good stuff. And then I was like, I could probably make that. And then I made it. And it was like, da bomb diggity. And I was like, I want more. So then I made a bigger pan. And I was like, oh, this is the shit. And then I was like, I love it, but I want like a thicker crust. Like, I like a nice custard to crust ratio. So I was like, okay, thicker crust. Got it. And then I made that. And I was like, boom, yes. And then I forgot the powdered sugar. Anyways, and then I was like, okay, so I was like, okay, crust, custard ratio, bomb. And then I was like, I wonder what it tastes like if it was like really dense. And then I was like, what if I had grapefruit juice and like all that shit? So yeah, that's just how my brain works. And I was like, so here we are, 12 batches later, we're gonna taste it and see what this bitch tastes like. Okay. Wow. It's just the way it melts in your mouth. Wow. I'm speechless. I will say this batch, the dough is, the crust is a lot more crumbly, which I do not love. But I also don't have patience, and it still needs to cool down. So that could be why. I don't have patience. I might name my first child Patience just so I can say I had some. I have ADHD, so basically I don't know how long it takes to do things, and so I don't have any concept of time. And so to me, the lemon bars came out and I just don't understand why I can't eat them already. Even though like it has to set, I understand that, but I'm like, but I need lemon bar now. I don't get it. So yeah, I think my love for lemon comes from my grandmother, who is, rest in peace, she used to make me this lemon on lemon cake all the time. And it was like, genius. I was like, who thinks of this? I was like, can you imagine the most moist lemon cake you've ever had, highlighted by the most tart frosting? Like, my mouth is literally watering right now. And so I used to, she used to make that for me all the time when I went to go visit her in Augusta, Georgia. So I guess my love for lemon comes from that, because, I love lemon. Lemon is just everything. I could go on and on. There's a lady who used to be on Hot in Cleveland, Valerie something, who, actually, we're gonna look this shit up, because we have a computer, and the Lord said, let's not be lazy. But she's on Food Network, and she loves lemon. That's like her thing. She like cooks with lemon. And I was like, yes, Valerie, you get me. You're cute. I love you. Your little family's cute. And I was like, this is the tea. She like guest hosts or guest judges on kids shows. Valerie Bertinelli. I love you, Valerie Bertinelli. I also watched her on Hot in Cleveland, so I love her so much. She and I are the same. The lemon queen, honey. Lemon. Okay, one thing I'm really living for, I got my hair braided down to my ass yesterday. And it was not the tea, let me tell you. I've been getting over a sore throat. And so my neck is already sore from all the braiding. And so that on top of the sore throat, that's a recipe. My throat is, my neck is like so sore. But my braids look good though. I decided to do like this blonde, it's literally like the music video for Rain On Me. Just blonde. So I did box braids. And it's like a blonde ombre with pink and purple going through it. And then I have like these two bang pieces. bang pieces. Sounds like something a 70-year-old, a 70s dad says about his side chick, his multiple side women. He's like, I got these two bang pieces here. I'm sorry, Karen, I'm leaving you for these two bang pieces. I don't fucking know. But I have these two pieces that like are my bangs, box braids, and they're just like ombre purple to pink. So it's like a little offset. It's like really cute. I fucking love it. I posted a picture. It was like really nice for non-binary day. And there's just something about having my hair braided. I need to learn how to do my own hair, but no patience. I've literally had the braiding hair for years. That's a lie. I've had it probably like a year, but like I've been just, who has the time? Literally me. But, or there's just something about having braided hair as a black person that you just feel so empowered and you're like, yes. And I didn't really grow up, necessarily in my blackness, if that makes sense. So any connection I can get and like hair down to my ass is queer too. So it's like black and queer all on top of my head, and the colors, and everyone stares at me when I walk by and my hair flips, and it is, I just feel my oats, wheats, greens, and everything, bitch. I feel so black and powerful. Literally, Beyonce's Black Parade just started playing in my head. I love my hair so much. And I want to do like more, like different styles. I love African hair. Yo, okay. And last on my list here, I have That's So Raven. So recently I like rediscovered That's So Raven. I don't know if you've heard of it before. It's kind of like one of the most popular TV shows ever in the existence of the world, but more specifically on Disney Channel. And let me tell you, when this show came on, it was my everything. I saw myself in Raven Simonier. I saw my mom in Raven Simonier, and she is like one of the, if not the, black queer icon, because growing up she introduced me to all my queerness just like through the show. Seeing her mom with box braids, black as fuck, seeing the different hairstyles, seeing all the issues that they talked about on the show, but also just like the way Raven was, like I was Raven Simone, bitch. I watched like her, talked like her. I was all of her characters. Snap! I used to say that all the time. I love That So Raven so fucking much. Let me tell you. Do you carry a lunchbox? That wakes me up in the middle of the night, and I'm happy. Every time I hear that. Every time I hear that, it makes it, and plus like the comedy too. And one thing that made That So Raven like a really, really good show, and like so many like great shows, so many shows in the early 2000s were so amazing, is because like you liked all the characters. All the characters had personality and you liked them. You know, like, you really love Raven, that's what you come for, but you also really love Chelsea, and you also really love Eddie, and you also really love seeing Corey, and plus, I loved seeing their parents have storylines and arcs and character development. I loved that. That's one thing I, like, you get to see the whole family, and it's so cool and amazing, and so, like, this past week, I've been, like, really reconnecting with my That's So Raven, and, oh my gosh, I love Raven Simone more specifically. Like, I've seen everything that she's done. I've listened to everything that she's listened to. I used to listen to everything from her independent albums to the little Disney Mania CDs she used to. One of my favorite songs is Grazing in the Grass. Everything here is so near, you can see it, and it's real, so real, so real, so real, so real, so real. Like she did that song for Lion King 1.5, and I was like, yes. I was doing all the moves from the music video. Double Dutch Busters on the street. Like she what did she do? She sampled so many black songs and remixed them or revamped them. She made them her own. Like, I love Raven Simone so much. Oh, I love her so much. And she's queer. And she's here. And she's on Disney Channel right now, still, with Raven's Home, which I can't wait to catch up on. But yes, I love That's So Raven. I love Raven Simone. I love that show. It is, oh my gosh. I think it's their Disney Channel's longest running show. Still. Don't quote me on that, but actually, I mean, maybe it was their most popular. I'm not sure. But either way, she broke records and they're still there. And the stuff they talked about, I remember the one episode, a lot of people know, where it's like the manager, she's like, I don't hire black people. And can you imagine, like, today, like, them actually having episodes like that on TV? Like, no one was talking about it then. And they were even talking about, I mean, just so much. I love the show so much. Stream it on Disney Plus, please. Give her the coinsadas and watch it. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Queen Tisha, telling you where to put the good coins. So, Nick don't got no commercials right now. We're going to go ahead with these donations, all right? This week, we have Glitz. And what they do is they help black trans women coming back from Rikers get all settled back into society, honey. They make sure they got food, they got water, they can't do whatever they want. Whatever they need, honey. All right, so go ahead and take your little coins, take your little PayPal, take your little unemployment check, baby, and go ahead and send it over to them. All right, so you can go ahead. Let's go to the website. The website is www.glitzinc. That's glitzinc.org/donations. No, don't ask me to spell donations, baby, because Yeah, we're gonna get them coins, okay? All right, let's get back to the show. Music is a big part of my life. It was growing up, it was like kind of silent for me, like the world was, but like I lived all in my head and all with music. And music is one thing that, like, my mom and I would listen to a lot growing up, of like Brandy, any black woman, honestly. And so I want to do a record of the week each week because I love music and it fluctuates based on my mood. And so each week I'm always feeling something new, and I'm really digging Wash and Sit by Lekeli or Lekeli. I think it's Lekeli or Lekeli. I'm not sure. Lekeli. But Wash and Set, I'm fucking with their shit. Let me tell you. It's like, oh my gosh, the title song, Wash and Set, it's like hair, conditioner, conditioner, leave-in, hair, conditioner, leave-in, hair, condition. And I'm like, yes, bitch, I am, boom, 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 boom. I'm like voguing. I know one of the most popular songs off the album is Money. Money is like a really good, it's a vibe, honey. It's a vibe. It's a look. Oh my gosh. Which brings me to my next song, Look. Oh my gosh. It's called Look, and it's, baby, it's a look, 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 look. It's a look, look. And let me tell you, I listen to music when I walk. Anyone who knows me knows my walk, and I kind of strut everywhere. That's just how my leg. I'm built weird. That's how my legs are. I can't help it. And also, anxiety is a real thing. And I'm like, I want to get out of you. but anytime I'm walking, I always have like my walk-in music based on my vibe. And so I have like playlists upon playlists of walking music. And let me tell you, this week, Miss Thing has really been turning the party. Music is Lee Kelly's music is so dope. It's so black and so queer. I love it so much. I just feel my everything. So this week's record of the week is Wash and Set by Lee Kelly.
I keep my phone in airplane mode, black, first class bonnet on. Walk down the street and saw my girl Mo. She dropped her pants and all you saw was dragging in the middle of the flow. Shit so long it got caught in the dough. My inches help me sweep up the dough. Money green streaks to the flow. Runway ready like whoa. Ghetto. I seal my ends on the go. Come get into my new grove. Hair conditioner, leaving hair.
Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Roaring Twenties. This first episode, I just kind of wanted to introduce myself and let you guys know what I've been up to this past week and give you an overview of the podcast. I'm really excited to start this journey. I've been sitting on this podcast for so, so long and afraid of what it could become. But one thing I'm learning is that it's important as a queer black person, as someone who identifies as gender nonconforming, to be seen and to take up space. And one thing that kind of rings in my mind is Lin-Manuel Miranda says, you can throw a rock into a pond, but you'll never know the amount of ripples that you'll make. And so I guess I'm me making this podcast is me throwing that rock into the pond, and hopefully, you know, something will come of this, and you know, who knows. But the hardest thing is starting, and the best teacher is experience. So I'm ready to start this ride, and I'm ready to, you know, do the damn thing. So thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Roaring Twenties. If you want to follow me, you can follow me everywhere at It's Nick, I guess. Let's be friends. Let's talk. I would love to get to know new people. You can see my cats and my cute little modeling pics and my makeup and my lemon bars. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next one. Bye. Roaring Twenties is a podcast that is recorded, edited, and mixed by yours truly. Music at the beginning and end of this episode is created by Elijah Lyons, and the cover art was created by Christopher McLean and Cassia Calhoun.